Welcome to Wanna Be Clutter Free, the podcast for ambitious moms who are ready to ditch the mess and stress for good. Let's simplify, organize, and create a life you actually love waking up to. Are you ready? Let's do this. Well, hey there, my friends. Welcome back to the show. My name is Deanna Yates, and you are listening to episode 300 of the Wanna Be Clutter Free podcast. I cannot believe we are 300 episodes in. If you had told me that this podcast would still be here and I'd still be here talking to you 300 episodes later, I probably would have laughed or cried. I mean, maybe both. I started this right before COVID and it kind of sustained me through that period, but it's just been a wonderful roller coaster. So thank you, first off, for being here and sticking with me. But here's the thing that I keep thinking about as I've been preparing about this episode. It kind of feels like a milestone. And so I really wanted to go back and think about when I started and when I started the show and how I thought about decluttering and what that was like. It was really just more of getting rid of stuff. It was organizing your closet. It was clearing out the garage. And the thing is, that's not all it is. It is that, but it's not. Because the more I have done this work, the more I have gotten into the mental side and the mindsets about decluttering. And the more I've watched all of you do this work, the more I realized that the stuff isn't really the problem. It never really was. The problem is what keeps creating the stuff or the desire to buy the stuff. The problem is an entire system that profits from your overwhelm, your insecurity, and your desire to feel better right now, to put a band-aid on the solution, to keep up with the Joneses and all of that kind of stuff. It's a system that has figured out exactly how to get you to reach for your wallet before you even realize you're doing it. And I have been in that place before. So this is not me preaching at you. This is me just realizing like, whoa, this is what I have seen and this is what I have felt. And I don't think we talk about that enough. So I know I haven't talked about it enough. And that's what this episode, episode 300, is going to be about. I want to go there. I want to dive a little bit deeper and really get to a little bit more of the heart of the matter. And I would love if you could just sit with this. Don't have a knee-jerk reaction to what I'm saying. Can you please? I would love to ask if you could just listen to this episode and see what resonates with you. And the things that come up that feel a little sticky, maybe they're parts that you actually need to sit with a little bit more, okay? I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story or what happened and why I ended up here, because a few weeks ago, I was sitting with a lot. And if you've been paying attention to the news at all, then you know what I mean. There's a lot happening right now. It feels heavy. It feels fast. It honestly feels really terrifying if you let yourself really look at it. And I noticed something, that when the overwhelm got loud enough, my instinct was to reach for my phone. My instinct was not to call someone, not to do anything useful, really, but just to scroll, to doom scroll, to browse, to look at things, to feel like I was taking a load off, to feel like I was letting myself just relax and be in kind of fancy, right? Just fantasy, just kind of unwind, relax, let go. But I caught myself with an Amazon tab open, no memory of opening it, but just feeling bad about myself because I was feeling overwhelmed and wanting to take back control and wanting to feel like I had control over my house and watching other people's homes and seeing what they look like and feeling like, oh, if I just changed something, if I just made my home feel a little bit better, maybe I would feel a little bit better. Maybe I would feel a little bit more in control. Maybe I wouldn't feel so overwhelmed. I wouldn't feel so out of it. I could just take a moment to breathe. Sound familiar? In that moment, though, something clicked for me. I realized that I had been circling around this idea for a long time, that the chaos isn't random. And the feeling of being too overwhelmed to act, that feeling of being like so overwhelmed that I just want to plop on my couch and scroll and not do anything, that I want to unplug, like I just want to just like close off the rest of the world, right? That I'm too scattered to show up, that I'm too distracted to organize, that I'm too distracted to resist, to vote, to push back. That state of mind is worth money to people. And there are industries that are built on keeping you stuck in that overwhelm. Because a person who feels powerless is going to buy things. A person who feels behind buys things. A person who is too exhausted from managing her stuff and her to-do list and her mental load to pay attention to what's actually happening, well, she definitely buys things. And that's when I realized, every time I choose less, I am opting out of not convenience per se, but I'm opting out of this system. I'm opting out of the system that profits from my distraction. I'm getting quieter. I'm quieting my brain. I'm getting quieter on the inside so that I can be louder where it actually matters, so I can start to show up, so I can feel more in control, and I can start to take back my... We live in San Diego, and we do not have air conditioning. So come summer, grilling outside isn't just preferred, it is absolutely required. I will not add one more degree of heat to this house if I can help it. And grilling nights work best when quality protein is already in the freezer, ready to go. The nights it's not, well, that's when dinner becomes a chaotic scramble. So I just ordered from Omaha Steaks, and I went straight for the burger perfection flight because my husband and daughter, well, they have declared themselves official beef burger connoisseurs, and we're doing a family taste test. 20 pure ground beef burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Each burger is ground from a single cut, not blended. It's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse price. Omaha Steaks has spent over 100 years perfecting this. Every cut of meat arrives vacuum sealed, flash frozen, and ready to go the moment you need it. No scrambling, no guessing. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Power. And that's what episode 300 is about. So hopefully this sounds interesting. We're going to get a little spicy, and I hope you're with me. I hope you're with me on this journey. Because I want to say something that is a little out there at first. Please, please, please stay with me. Like I said, stick with it and hear the whole message today. The clutter in your home is not an accident. It's not a personal failing. You did not fail. And it is not because you are disorganized or lazy or bad at adulting. We might feel those things, but what it is, in a significant part, is the intended result of a trillion-dollar industry that is very, very, very good at its job. Desire is manufactured. We are shown ads 4,000 to 10,000 times a day. That is a lot of ads to be shown every day. And the goal is not to make you aware of the product. Sit with that. As somebody who has gone to marketing school, who has a business, who has heard multiple times, someone has to see a product 7 times in order before they'll buy it. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard that saying. But if you really think about it, the goal might not be to make you aware of the product. The goal might be to make you feel incomplete without it. Okay, I'm going to go back to my Stanley. Like, I didn't buy the Stanley, but remember the Stanley craze? You probably do. The goal wasn't to make you feel like you needed a Stanley water bottle, or even to make you feel like you needed a water bottle. The goal was to make you feel incomplete if everyone else around you had a Stanley and you didn't. Okay, I won this at a trade show. It was one of the few things I actually did keep for my trade show. And now I need a drink of water. You can hear my voice, but now I use it. I'm not going out to buy the new Owala, whatever the newest water bottle craze is. I just have a water bottle because I needed a water bottle. My other one broke, by the way. It was glass. It broke. I was super sad about it, but now I have this one. The next thing I want to talk about is like the treat yourself culture. Have you ever found yourself saying, oh, just need a little treat for myself? I've done it. I've done it a lot, actually. And that is a sales strategy. So when self-care became a marketing term, it was a genius move for marketers. It attached spending to your worthiness. You deserve this. You've earned this. Your well-being requires this. All marketing. Algorithms are not showing you what you love. They are showing you what you are most likely to buy. Now, I'm going to date myself. So for those of you that are younger and you're newer to social media, I remember when social media came out and things were shown to you in a chronological order. So it meant that there was actually an end to the feed. Do you remember that? Like, you could see all the things your friends had posted today or yesterday or within the last week if you were really on a big doom scroll session. It wasn't doom scrolling back then. It was people you were actually connected to, people you wanted to be connected to in your life, and it was chronological. That has totally changed. My feed now is filled with ads. It's not in chronological order. It's filled with suggestions of people I want to follow. And so it is a curated shopping experience. You think you're relaxing, but you're being sold to. Goal for social media companies is to make money. They make money on ads. They make money on keeping you on the platform. So their goal is to keep you addicted. So they're not showing you what you love. They're showing you an experience that they are curating for you. Another thing, fast fashion, seasonal decor, those haul videos, they are all designed around one thing, to create a feeling of lack where there was none. There wasn't a feeling of lack before. This is why I tell people to unsubscribe from magazines or mailers, because if you didn't know you wanted that thing before it showed up in your mailbox, before it showed up on your desk, then you don't really need it. It's a want that's being planted in your brain. So these ideas that things are changing seasonally, that you have to keep up with the new trends, it's a way to make last season's coat feel embarrassing or a way to make your house look dated, right? Back to my Amazon story, I was feeling bad because I just wanted something a little bit different. Not that the things I have in my house are bad, but it just was having a day. I caught myself before I bought it, which made me feel really happy and proud about myself, but I know I've been doing this work for a very long time. So if I'm still feeling succumbed to it and still feeling pressured by it, I know there's so many other people out there that are as well. And this is not a small thing. It might feel small. It might be like, deal, I bought that little trinket while I was in line buying the other things. I was at Target and my cart ended up being $300 instead of, oh, I just went in for, you know, some socks and, you know, some granola bars or whatever. How many times has that happened, right? Americans spend an estimated $18,000 per household on non-essential purchases. Things we don't need, things we just wanted, impulse buys, things that made us feel good, we treated ourselves to. Self-storage is a $44 billion with a B industry in this country, in the US alone. We have more stuff than any society in human history. We are also some of the most anxious, most in debt, most overwhelmed people in human history. Think about that for a second. We have the most knowledge. We have the most resources. We have the most ability to do whatever we want in human history, and we are the most anxious, most in debt, most overwhelmed. We need to change this. And that's really, I think, the heart of what I do and why I do it. The really insidious part, this system knows that when you are stressed, when you are lonely, when you are bored, when you are scared, you are more likely to buy. And so the things that make you want to shop, doom scrolling the news, feeling disconnected, that vague sense that everyone else has their life together, trust me, we don't. No one does. We're all faking it till we make it. Those are not side effects. Those are features for the companies that want to sell you goods and services. Okay? I am not saying this to make you feel powerless. Quite the opposite. I am saying this because I think once you see it, it's hard to unsee it. And that is where your power starts. That's the whole point of this. I want to help you be more powerful. There was an incredible resource I read last year. It's called No New Things by Ashley Piper. And Ashley, if you end up seeing this, I would love to have you on the show. I thought this was fantastic. I want to do a No New Things challenge myself. Her goal was to do a full year buying nothing new, no clothing, no home goods, nothing, nothing brand new. Now she shopped secondhand. And there's lots of different ways that you can still get things into your life, but they don't have to be new things. And so she goes into lots of information. If you're at all interested, highly, highly, highly recommend the book. I'll put it in the show notes. I'm not even prescribing that for you though. But this premise of this book cracked something open for me, because the question it kept asking was, what if you were actually fine? What if you were fine with what you have right now, or without having anything new ever again? I think there's enough clothes on the planet right now to clothe everybody forever, evermore, if we didn't have to follow all the trends, or if we didn't feel like we had to follow all the trends, if we didn't have to get the new things. And so what if you had enough? What if the desire to buy was not a signal that you needed something, but a signal that someone had successfully made you feel like you did? What if you didn't actually need it? And so here is the reframe I want you to take with you. Not buying is not deprivation. It is defection. It is getting out of this system. It is saying, no, I choose to no longer be blind to all of this that is happening around me, and I choose a different path. So every time you walk past a sale and you keep walking, you are opting out of a system that profits from your overwhelm. Every time you borrow instead of buy, you repair instead of replace, you sit. Just simply sit with wanting something and deciding you're okay without it. you are making a choice that the entire retail economy is designed to prevent you from making. You are saying no thanks. And it's pretty cool when you think about it. You can make a change by doing or buying less. I mean, how cool? How often can you actually do something really powerful by actually doing less? Or if you are not on board with the less part yet, let's say somehow you ended up with my podcast in your ears. I don't know how, because most people here are looking to declutter or organize their home or have a little bit less in their life. If you're not on board with that idea, you can do a no new things challenge and just not buy anything new. By doing this, you actually choose to remove yourself from that merry-go-round of spending culture. It's pretty cool. It's pretty powerful. And then there's the other side of this, because choosing less is not just about protecting your physical space or your bank account. It's also about what you are putting your dollars toward and what you are not putting your dollars toward, what you are not buying. So where we spend our money is one of the most direct forms of civic participation available to us. Quick way, say that, you vote with your dollars. So every purchase is a vote for the kind of world you want to live in. Who do you want to get richer? Which supply chains do you want to supply? What do you want to signal demand for? All of those things are a way for you to vote with your dollars. I think about that a lot. I think about when stores go out of business around me, and if it's a store that I at one time had, you know, been to, and I'm like, that's kind of sad. We had this really cool ice cream shop that didn't make it past COVID, and I'm so sad it's not there. Now it's a crumble cookie, which, okay, fine. Crumble cookies are fine, but it wasn't like that really cool Sunday place that was just felt a little more special. And so now I really think about that and I try to buy things from local shops. I want to support my local economy. I want to support the little mom and pops that are around me. And so that's where I spend my money. It's where I try to spend my money. I don't always succeed, but it's where I try to spend my money when I can. So I try to vote with my dollars. Wherever I spend my money is a vote of confidence, a vote of saying, I believe in you. I want you to be here. And this is how I choose to spend the resources that I have available to me. Now, I know that can feel really abstract. So again, let's make it a little more concrete. So buying less from a fast fashion company that's going to use slave labor or, you know, sweatshops, that kind of a thing, labor practices that you don't believe in, that's a vote. Buying secondhand is a vote. Repairing something instead of tossing it, that's a vote. Simply not buying something that was engineered to manufacture desire in you, you got it. That's a vote. Now, none of this requires a perfect record. None of this requires you to be some kind of anti-consumer purist. It just requires you to start seeing the choice, to start seeing the buying choices you have. And I've been thinking a lot lately about how many of us feel smaller, more disconnected, and just more out of control than we used to. Like, the things that are happening in the world are too big, too fast. They're too far outside of anything that we can control or be a part of even. And as we sit in this moment in history, our eyes are being opened to how we were all groomed as a society, especially as girls, right? As girls and still as women, we're told that we need to look young. We need to be thin. We need to have less power. We do so much invisible labor and society still puts that on us, right? And now we're being bombarded by distraction. So we feel overwhelmed. We pull back. We stay quiet. Heck, I even had to do that. I pulled back. I stopped listening to so much news to protect my mental health, to protect my sanity. But I don't want to stay quiet anymore. Of course, I'm still voting. I'm still staying aware of the things that are going on. I'm not constantly on the news, but I'm curating my news again. I'm starting to get back into what's happening around me. I don't want to be quiet. I don't want to be powerless. One of my favorite songs is Sit Still, Look Pretty. I will put a link in the show notes. If you don't know this song, please listen to it. Belt it from the rafters. I love that song. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. And I know I'm not alone. I hear from listeners in my community almost every day that things feel outside of our control right now. We are so overwhelmed. We're tired. We're bogged down. There's just too much to do. But here is what's not outside of your control. What comes through your front door? So what do you give your attention to? What do you let take up space in your home, in your head? Your home is your jurisdiction. And in a moment when it feels like you have very little power, that can make a big difference. And once you start tapping into your power, you get to decide what to do with it. And once you start feeling more powerful, you can take that outside your house. I am not trying to have you stay inside and keep you closed off. I want you to get control, feel powerful, put it on for size, try it on in the dressing room, and then take it out into the world. Do not sit still and look pretty. I want you to get loud and be noisy and use the God-given talents you have to get out into the world. And it's not just the physical stuff. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the emotional and mental side as well, because that's where most of our physical clutter starts, is with the mental and the emotional and the things that's going on. That's what leads us to wanting more and feeling like we need to buy more. So let's chat about it briefly, because that stuff does clutter your mind and I want to help us move past it. So I would be remiss if I just said, well, just clean up your house, because we got to clean up what's going on in here too. So scrolling through short form content, TikTok, Reels, YouTube Shorts, it's not neutral. It's not just a pastime that doesn't affect us. It totally does. And a huge portion of that content exists to make you want things. The haul video, the things I can't live without, the Amazon finds. These are ads wearing the costume of entertainment, okay? And that mental residue of that constant wanting is its own kind of clutter. That low-grade buzz of desire, the vague dissatisfaction with what you have, the sense that everyone else's life looks more put together than yours. If you're following me on Instagram right now, which again, I know I'm telling you to get off of these platforms, but what I don't want you to do on these platforms is just endlessly scroll. It is totally fine to curate your feed of people that you want to follow and then just be sure that you're not spending too much time on them. So, but if you are following me, I'm doing a 30-day series. And one of the tips that I talked about was this highlight reel fallacy, right? This highlight reel that you are seeing what people curate and put out there for you. They are not showing you the behind the scenes, the nitty gritty, the failures, the things that they don't want to put out, okay? So please do not compare your worst day with someone's highlight reel, okay? Please, please. That's just something I want you to think of when you are going through and you're scrolling. It's okay. Like, I'm still going to scroll. It's going to be really hard for me to quit cold turkey, although we'll see. That might be something I end up doing by the end of the year, because I'm getting more and more disillusioned with social media and what's going on there. And right now I'm mostly just using it for work, but I gotta tell you, I find it's very hard to pull myself away from it. So we'll see where we end up. But I have found that when I go through periods of genuinely consuming less, less scrolling, less browsing, less just looking, something interesting really happens. That wanting quiets down. Not right away, but within a few days, I start to feel more satisfied with what I actually have. My home looks better to me. My life looks better to me. I kind of look up and all of a sudden I'm seeing more color around me. And I just want you to know that you cannot want your way to peace. Does that make sense? Like, you can't just say, like, if I just keep wanting, then I'm going to feel peaceful. It's not how it works. You can reduce the input that creates the wanting, and that will help you feel more peaceful. We want to feel gratitude. Start thinking about the things that you have that you are grateful for, and that will help you start to feel more peaceful. Take it away from the wanting. There's endless wants in the world. So we have to stop using that as a measurement for how we feel, because it's fleeting, right? There's always more in the world. There's always people that have more, that even the richest person in the world still wants things. So it's a bottomless pit. It's a never-ending cup that it'll never be full. All right. So I would be remiss, of course. I'm never going to leave you with things to not try, right? I want to give you a few things to try so that you can start pulling away from these things, pulling away from buying, pulling away from wanting, pulling away from consuming. I think that's my goal for 2026, is to consume less and be more of a creator and less of a consumer. So here are some ways that we can do that. I want you to start with a 24-hour rule. So when you want to buy something, wait 24 hours, just 24. Give yourself a slight pause, a little break between the feelings of want and that desire and the actual act of buying. And then see how often that feeling passes. It usually passes pretty quickly. It's kind of surprising. So if you are addicted to shopping on Amazon, just leave it in the cart for 24 hours before you actually buy it. You might be surprised tomorrow in the light of day when you aren't hungry, you aren't tired, and you hadn't just gotten through a doom scroll session, you actually can say, oh, I actually really want that, or I can live without it, or I have something else that works just as fine. I want you to unsubscribe from one retailer email today, just one. that one, pick the one that reliably makes you browse when you weren't planning to. Pick the one that makes you think like, oh, maybe if I had that couch, or ooh, that's a really cool little tchotchke to put on my bookshelf. Think about unsubscribing from that one. I want you to audit one just looking habit. So one app or one site that you open when you're bored. Notice what it's selling you, even if it looks like entertainment. There's always something that's being sold to you. All right. So just take a moment, put on some glasses that are a little more analytical, a little more skeptical, a little more cynical, maybe. I know I'm generally really positive, but I think when it comes to buying things, we need to be a little more cynical. I would also challenge you to do a no new things experiment for one category. If you don't want to do your entire life, just pick one category. So you don't have to go a full year like Ashley Piper did. You could do 1 month with no new clothing, no new home decor. Pick the one category that you go to, that's the one that you tend to gravitate toward. So for a long time, I haven't really been attracted to clothing. I don't know. I don't really like shopping for clothing. I think I just hate trying it on. I hate trying getting new clothes. It's just a whole thing. So I would gravitate toward just home decor. Like, that's cute, or, you know, whatever. And so once I stopped bringing in new things home decor wise, it made a big difference for me. And so take a look at that. And then I want you to name the feeling before you buy. Not to talk yourself out of it, but just to see. Am I bored? Am I stressed? Am I lonely? Am I trying to solve a feeling with an object? And again, I want to remind you that all buying is not bad. I have a tendency to do an all or nothing like viewpoint, like, oh, I can't buy anything. This is just a pause. It's just a pause for you to say like, ooh, what comes up for me when I'm not able to buy something new for a week, 2 weeks, a month? Huh? Am I feeling bored? Did I want to buy something because I was bored? Did I want to buy something because I felt bad about myself? Did I want to buy something because I'm really stressed? Did I want to buy something because I didn't get a good night's sleep? Did I want to shop because, you know what? I kind of ate junk food all day and now I just don't feel good. And so what is it? What is the trigger for you? It's not about never buying anything new. So I don't want you to think that. You absolutely can buy some new things. I mean, of course, there's going to be things that you absolutely should buy new all the time. Hello, underwear, lingerie, those kinds of things. Buy those new. That's fine. But don't necessarily have buying new be your knee-jerk reaction to every single thing in your home. That's just what I would love to have you just start to think. There are other options, and see those other options. I just want you to know that this all just comes back to what I do here on this podcast, because when you stop the inflow, something beautiful happens. The decluttering stops being this endless project that you never finish. You start making actual progress. That's one of the things that I know people complain about. They're like, I decluttered and it's a mess again. We have to stop the inflow, because that's when you start making actual progress. You create the home that stays calmer because you are working with your habits instead of against them. Decluttering without addressing the inflow is like bailing out a boat without plugging the hole. Stopping the inflow is the plug. Then we can make progress. Then we can sail to the other side of the lake. We can make it out of the choppy waters when our boat is fixed, when it's full, when it is a boat that will stay afloat. Gosh, that ended up rhyming and sounds really silly. Sorry. But when your boat stays afloat, you will make it through the choppy waters. So let's plug the inflow. Let's stop all of the stuff coming into our homes. Let's practice our power. Let's exercise this idea that buying is our power, that we can vote with our dollars. And so that's really what this is about. I mean, you can make it a political statement if you want to. You don't have to, but I just want you to be able to take back your power, because if you want to have more power in this world, if you want to show up, if you're tired of being quiet, this is an easy place to start when so much feels so overwhelming and it feels impossible. This is 100% in your control. All right, so 300 episodes later, here's what I actually believe after all of it. I believe that a calmer home is not a luxury. It is a form of resistance against a culture that profits from your chaos. I believe that buying less is one of the most personal, practical, and powerful things that you can do right now, not because it will fix everything, but because it is yours. It is a choice that you can actually make today in your own life, in your own home, that pushes back against a system that is counting on you not to. And I believe that you already know this. I think a lot of you listening to this right now have felt this pull toward less overwhelm, toward a simpler but fuller life, toward a life that doesn't require you to manage so much stuff that doesn't actually matter to you. And if that sounds good, I want to invite you to join me on this journey of less. Don't just think about it as having less for the sake of having less. I want you to reframe it as less noise so that you can take back your power and do whatever the heck you want with it when you are your beautiful, powerful self. And so if you are on board, here's my one ask for this episode, for episode 300. Not a review, not a follow, just this. I want you to think of one person in your life who is drowning in stuff and who doesn't know why they can't get ahead of it. That one person who shops when they're stressed, who feels guilty about their clutter, who's tried to get organized 100 times but can't figure out why it never sticks. I would love if you could send them this episode. Text it to them right now if you want. Tell them episode 300 of Wanna Be Clutter Free is the one that finally names the real problem with decluttering and buying. Because the message in this episode is that clutter is not your fault. It's that the system is working exactly as it is designed to, and that you have more power than you think. And that message deserves to reach many, many more people, as many people as we possibly can. And you are how it gets there. All right. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for 300 episodes. I don't take it lightly that you spend your time with me and that you let me into your earbuds, into your home, into your commutes, into your kitchen while you cook dinner and while you're cleaning your house. I really appreciate it. And so here is your quick win for today. Before you open a shopping app or click add to cart on something today, just pause, take a deep breath, and for 5 seconds, just sit there and then ask yourself, do I actually need this or am I just being made to feel like I do? 5 seconds, that's it. That's the beginning of opting out, and that's the beginning of you taking back your power. I want you to join me next week for an interview with Michelle Niemeyer. We are talking about the art of bending time. It's a very interesting conversation. And so I hope you'll join me. Until then, take care, keep things simple so that you can be more powerful, and remember that I believe in you. I know you can do anything you put your mind to. I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wanna Be Clutter Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers.